Are you someone who loves Christmas to the point that you really hate to take the decorations down, even if it's now January 15th? If you answered yes, you are a Noelophile. And so am I, and this show is for you.
Hi, I'm Dot Cannon, also known as Noella Noelophile.
And welcome to my Noelophile podcast. On this show, we're going to be talking about Christmas in general and California Christmas in particular.
I don't do perfect shapes, so I think that's why I'm inspired by nature, because every leaf is different, you know, every movement. So I'm inspired by the organic pieces that I get from the beach, and then I'm also inspired by nature. That could be going on hikes or just my own plants, you know, I'm surrounded by in the studio.
And for San Francisco artist Jessica Linehan, that inspiration results in some gorgeous jewelry. Jessica, or Jess as she prefers to be called, designs and creates one-of-a-kind rings, earrings, charms, and much more, which she sells through her artisan jewelry business, Bobby J. Her designs include work in gold, silver, and inlay with shells she's gathered from up and down the California coast.
Jess, how did you first get interested in jewelry making?
So I was working, I was a head receptionist downtown at a salon. Before that, I always loved creative stuff. I was always creative when I was younger. My dad was an artist. He was pretty well known back in the 80s in San Francisco. So I kind of have that in me already. But what launched the jewelry for me when I was a head receptionist at the salon, I always was just so intrigued by the hairstylists. They just really work. They love their work. They love the technique behind cutting hair. You know, the way they cut hair, they had to go through training, and it was just always fun being in that environment and them talking among themselves about cutting hair and techniques and stuff like that. So I really wanted to do my own thing. And at that time I was singing, but I just wasn't loving it as much. And at that same time, I would go to the department stores and I would buy jewelry every paycheck. And after some time, I realized that all the jewelry was looking the same. And I figured, why wouldn't I try taking a jewelry class? I really was intrigued on how it worked. So I took a class in Marin at a beading store. I learned how to make a necklace. And then from there, I took a crash course at the Crucible in Oakland. And it was a 3-day crash course on how to make a ring. And I was really overwhelmed. Actually, I hated it because it was so much information to process. But I stuck it out and I finished. And at the end of class, the instructor said, if you guys really, really love this and you want to focus more on smaller classes, she recommended Kate Ellen in Oakland. Kate Ellen had a store called Crown 9 in Oakland, and she offered classes on hammering texture. So then I went there, and she said, if you guys really like jewelry, I recommend going to College of Marin. So that's College of Marin is where I really learned a lot of my stuff.
Yeah. It's interesting to me that you said initially you hated it, and yet you were interested enough to go on.
Yes. Yeah, so after 3 hours, the teacher was, I was like, I hate this. Like, I'm not understanding it because I'm very much a visual learner and it takes a little time for me to process certain information. And she said, no, please stick it out. I'll help you guide you. Because everyone was pretty far along in the class. And I was just like, I'm just not getting it. And then I stuck it out. I finished. And it was just that gratification of, wow, like I made something out of metal. And it was really, really cool. So then that made me want to learn more.
You went to a couple of different classes. You were beginning to enjoy making the jewelry.
Yes.
How did you go from there to, yes, I would like to do this professionally?
So when I went to College of Marin, I wasn't even thinking professionally. I was just thinking, this is really fun. And I really love the process. When I got to my first day of class in Marin, basically, it was a lot of women doing it for fun. I don't know. I just fell in love with the community of jewelry makers in there. And I think after a year of doing the College of Marin class, that's when I really realized, like, oh, you know, why don't I try doing the Treasure Island Flea Market? And then after the Treasure Island Flea Market, that's when I realized, okay, this is what I want to do.
Take me back in your imagination, would you, to your first show at the Treasure Island Flea Market? What do you remember best?
I remember it just being so exciting to set up booth, meeting my vendor mates, my neighbors, what they did, what they created, what they sold, how long they were doing this for. Was this actually their full-time job or their part-time job? It was really just exciting to also meet people and see the reaction to my artwork. And the reaction and the conversations I was having with people about my work, that was another push for me to want to create more. So yeah, that was an inspiration just to get to know people and holding my stuff and then buying things. Of course, that's a bonus, but just talking about it and then really loving my work, that really pushed me to want to do more. Yeah.
I admit I oohed and aahed when I saw that gorgeous inset ring. That's really what attracted me, I think, to your work, is that looks like it could be a wedding ring. It's beautiful.
Yes. Are you talking about the abalone inlay?
I am.
Yes. So that's actually something new I'm working on for non-traditional wedding rings.
Ooh. Now, yeah. We need to emphasize before we go on that no abalone are being harmed. You are not harming any kind of endangered species or anything to make abalone rings. Where are you getting your shells?
Exactly. So I always tell customers at shows, I do not deep dive. My family and I, we go to this little cove off beaten trail by the beach. It's in Sea Ranch area. And my stepdad will time it when the tide is low. And then that's when we climb down a hill and then all the broken fragments of the abalone that are on, you know, have washed up shore. That's when we start picking as much as we can before the tide comes in. So when the tide comes in, we just call it a day. But if there's been a couple of times where we've seen live abalone and we put them right back in the ocean. Yeah. So it's not the whole shell that I want. That's what people sometimes think, that I cut into the whole shell. I prefer to cut into the broken pieces of the shell because it's less dangerous to cut.
I would also guess that it would be a more interesting shape if you get broken pieces to start with.
Yeah. So the pieces, you know, I prefer the flat, smaller pieces, but if not, I still work with it. I'll sand it out to level out. I cut into like medium pieces, which I have more control from when the dust is being created from cutting. I'd rather have more control of the smaller pieces than the bigger pieces. But yeah, sometimes I find some really cool organic shapes that I don't even cut into.
Did I see that you also work with recycled metal?
Yes, I work with recycled metal. Some of my pieces have recycled 14 karat gold metal. So I basically collect all the dust and the shavings of metal. I save those and then I put it back into the work.
What's your creative process like?
I'm pretty much inspired by the shape of the abalone, like the broken pieces, the way the colors or the veins will depend on what inspires me to create around the abalone. You know, I want to say nature too. Movement of, you know, certain flowers, how they bloom. I'm not a precise, like, I don't do perfect shapes. So I think that's why I'm inspired by nature, because every leaf is different, you know, every movement. So I'm inspired by the organic pieces that I get from the beach. And then I'm also inspired by nature. That could be going on hikes or just my own plants, you know, I'm surrounded by in the studio. I'm also inspired by what first I was inspired by was my grandmother's jewelry that was passed down to me.
Ooh, what kind of jewelry?
Gosh, my grandpa, he was in, I believe, Vietnam, and he would just gift my grandmother like different kinds of jewelry. And wow. He would give her Japanese styled earrings, turquoise jewelry, Navajo pieces. So that's what really inspired some of my work. When I was little, she would let me pick through some of her pieces. And she says, when you get old enough, you can have some of these.
I'm remembering the turquoise of the 1970s.
Yeah.
Gosh, blossom necklaces and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
We should mention that your website is Bobby JSF. You're a San Francisco-based artist, so people
yes.
can find you easily.
Yep.
Now, since her name is Jessica Linehan, where did Jess get Bobby J for her artisan jewelry business?
So when I was at the time a receptionist at the salon. Before I got hired, when I was singing, I had to come up with a stage name. And when the manager hired me, she said, you know, we already have a Jessica in the color department. And to not confuse customers, you're going to have to come up with a nickname. And so at the time when I was singing and when I got hired, I thought of Bobby. And then I just added the J at the end. So that can be anyone's interpretation, either for Jess or for jewelry, but it's Bobby J.
When you talk about being inspired by the plants, I had wondered, because I love one of the rings you've done with a marigold design and then obviously marigold earrings that are like hoops. And I did want to ask you about the inspiration of marigolds, especially.
Yeah, so that one I created in my first year at College of Marin. And I remember she gave us, I forget what kind of project it was on, but she basically said, I want you to create something flowy. I want you to create something organic shapes with a certain kind of wax mold we were working with. And I literally just got my black permanent marker and just started just drawing and, you know, organic shapes. And that one really took off. And that was a ring that I made in class. And when I posted it on Instagram, people really loved it. And to this day, it's still a popular item. So that one was just me just at my desk drawing away. Yeah.
It occurs to me to wonder what special things you're making for Christmas season 2022.
Yes. So I am doing for sure abalone and more inlay work, but I will be working more with daintier pieces, more gold pieces and more inlay with cut out shapes of 14 karat gold. And I don't want to say what yet.
Okay.
I want it to be a surprise. And I also want to have more metal designs. I know everyone loves the abalone. So with the abalone, I want to do the daintier side. And then with my new metal pieces, I want to be more on the bolder side.
Oh, these are going to be really gorgeous. Yeah. Now you're going to surprise some people with your work if they come to see you. Where are you exhibiting before Christmas?
Okay, so for now, what we have in the books is at Fort Mason. The first show is going to be Renegade Craft Fair. And I believe that's going to be early November. And then West Coast Craft Fair is going to be the weekend of the 19th in November. So they'll be 2 weeks apart.
If you'd like to mark your calendar, here are the specific dates for those shows, both of which are happening at Fort Mason. Renegade Craft is happening Saturday and Sunday, November 5th and 6th. While West Coast Craft happens Saturday and Sunday, November 19th and 20th.
That'll be that. And then I might do in person by appointments at my studio.
Do you take custom orders at all?
So I do take custom orders. As of right now, I'm only going to be taking selective custom orders just because I really, really want to get this new line out. And custom orders, as much as I love doing them, they do take some time. So I do take custom orders, but they will be selective.
And how far in advance, given that this is going to go up in October, do people need to ask you, what if they want something special for Christmas?
If they want something special for Christmas, we need about 4 to 5 weeks.
So the minute you hear this, if you want something, get a hold of Jess.
Yes, right now it's a little quiet, but as soon as September, early October hits, that's when I start getting, a flood of orders. So
I've wondered what your average workday is like as a professional jewelry artist.
Yeah, my average workday, I really try to stick to a schedule Monday through Friday, sometimes Saturdays. You know, I try to do a 6 to 8 hour day. But every day, it's funny because some weeks I'll have a really intense work week. And then sometimes it's a nice balance of admin work and working on orders. And then when it's a little quiet, I just take advantage of doing a deep clean and more organizing in the studio. But I try to stick to a schedule as much as I can. So, you know, consistency. Right now I'm in the creating mode. So yeah, that's what this week's focus is on, creating new pieces.
If I have my information correct, this year is a special one for you. 10-year anniversary of Bobby J.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too the other day. I was like, how long have I been creating jewelry? Yeah, 10 years.
Wow. Happy anniversary.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
How do you most want to grow your jewelry business in the next 10 years?
Yeah. So that's been a thing that has been in my mind a lot lately. I definitely want to be in more stores for my jewelry, including, you know, not just San Francisco, but other states like New York, Miami, you know, just bigger cities. And I want to be able to teach certain things in the future in my own studio and have other jewelry artisans use my space. So that's what I would like. Being in more stores, doing more shows in different cities, and providing some classes.
When you teach, how would you most like to draw on your own experience to share with your students?
I think I would start really, really small, like maybe to 10-year-olds, you know, four kids, you know, age group of, I don't know, 8 to 13. And then just show them how to make a simple beaded necklace. Because that's how I started. That was the very first class I took. So let's just start small. That's, you know, or if people want to learn how to add texture to a piece of metal or print their own name on like a metal charm, you know, and make it into a necklace, something like that. Just something small, maybe once a month, or maybe it's only for the first part of the year, one or twice a month. Yeah.
That'll be something exciting for the kids.
Yeah, just something small. Yeah. We'll start small.
Jess, thank you for your time today.
Thank you. Thank you for asking me to do this.
You and I have been listening to jewelry artist Jessica Linehan, owner of the artisan jewelry business Bobby J in San Francisco. Get a look at Jess's work on bobbyjsf.com. As she mentioned, she does take custom orders, but if you'd like something special for Christmas 2022, better contact her now. She is going to get busy, and she has two shows coming up. Which, by the way, if you happen to be in the San Francisco Bay Area, you might like to come by and say hi. Jess is going to be at Fort Mason, both for Renegade San Francisco Craft Fair, happening November 5th and 6th, and then 2 weeks later, for West Coast Craft, that's the 19th and 20th of November. And that concludes this edition of Noelophile. Thank you for listening, and may your Christmas season be iridescent, imaginative, and uniquely beautiful.